Week, Ben Shellhaas, our youth minister, and I went and did a little visitation, and we went to visit some of the kids in the youth group, and the majority of them were home, but we had a few that were not, and so we would take a youth flyer and a little card, stick it in either the mailbox or the door, and leave it with them, and it was a great time. And one of the families that was not home sent me a text later that day and simply said, "Thanks, you know, for the visit, you know, got the flyer." And that's a good thing to do. And that reminds me of a story that's been floating around on the internet about a pastor who went out and did some evangelism visitation. It's a story you may have heard before. And he went out and made multiple visits and found a lot of folks at home, but he went to one house and he knocked on the door and he could hear someone inside, but they didn't come to the door. He knocked a couple of more times, they didn't come, and so finally he pulled his card out and he wrote a little note on the back of it. It just simply said Revelation 3:20, and he stuck it in the edge of the door. And then he left. Well, the next morning, his treasurer found his card in the offering plate and gave it to him. And when he got it, he flipped it over and he saw the message that he had written there, Revelation 3:20, but below it, written in another handwriting, was Genesis 3:10. And he was puzzled by that. Well, basically, his message from Revelation 3:20 is this: "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and sup with him, and he with me." And that was the message he had, Revelation 3:20. Well, the message of Genesis 3:10, he pulled out his Bible, opened it up, and read it, and it said this: "And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked." So, we understand when sometimes the door doesn't open and people don't come and greet us, so that's okay. Well, this is our Presbyterian planning calendar. We receive it every year, and it has all sorts of information about the various themes that we are to focus on throughout the year. And every September, almost every September, it tells us that we are to focus on Christian education and evangelism. Just as our children are getting back in the swing of things as they go back to school, we are to get back in the swing of things as we nurture and grow our faith in Christ and as we learn how to get outside these walls and share the love and the grace of Christ to lots and lots of people. It's a very important thing to do. Now imagine with me, if the apostles who were given the commandment to go and make disciples of all nations, to go out into the world and share the love of Christ, if they had not done that, what would have happened? We wouldn't be here today. So the mission of Christ is something we're all called to be part of, not just pastors, but all of us. And it is the most important mission in the world today. Because if we don't go out and share the love of Christ, if we don't go out and bring people to Jesus, it simply will not happen. And Christ is calling us to do that. Well, over the years, the word evangelism has been a very confusing word. In the old days, it was associated with door-to-door visitation. Well, today, that's a very uncomfortable thing. That's been hard for me to get used to because I've done so much of that throughout the years and still continue to do it, but I'm doing it less and less. But there are so many other aspects of evangelism. It's not just door-to-door visitation. It involves a myriad of different creative ways to reach people with the love of Christ and draw them to Christ. Now, the Apostle Paul was probably one of the greatest evangelists of all time. Now, the word evangelism in Greek is the word euangelion, and it simply means good news or good message. And Paul was the greatest at sharing euangelion, at sharing good news, at getting out and reaching people with the gospel of Christ. Now, in his letter to the Corinthians, he said something profound. In the 9th chapter, he said, "I became all things to all people in all possible ways that more might be saved. To the weak, I became like a weak person in order to connect to that weak person. To the Gentile, I became like a Gentile in order to reach that person. To the Jew, I became like a Jew and talked about Jewish things in order to connect and to relate and reach that person and draw them all to Christ. And we know that he was extremely effective in doing that and leading thousands, maybe millions over time to become believers in Christ. Now, you've heard me say that I believe that Christianity is more often caught than it is taught. And I believe that's true. What that means is that we have a greater impact in the things we do, the loving and caring and gracious things we do to demonstrate the love of Christ than any other way. You can take someone that is an atheist, someone that is opposed to Christianity, someone that doesn't want to have anything to do with Christ in the church, and you simply love them, you care for them, you do nice things for them, you help them in ways they don't expect and they surely don't understand, and they will be changed by the power of Christ's love working through you. And that's what the Apostle Paul did. And that's what Christ is calling us to do as well. Now, you've all heard the name Mother Teresa. She died many years ago, but she had a profound impact on the entire world. She simply loved people for the sake of Christ. She loved poor people. She loved all people. And she gave herself in a sacrificial way to demonstrate that love. And because of her demonstration of love, the love of Christ became a reality. It is through the demonstration of love that we are able to see and understand the reality of Christ in our world. Now, we've all heard of Mother Teresa, but you've probably not heard of a monk by the name of Telemachus. Telemachus lived at the end of the 4th century A.D. He was a Christian monk. Now, before I talk about Telemachus, I need to go back and reflect a little bit on history. If you go back to 313 A.D., that was a very significant year in the world for Christianity. That's when Emperor Constantine issued his Edict of Milan, which said that Christianity was no longer to be persecuted, but was to be accepted as a viable, meaningful religion in the empire. That was profound. But it wasn't until 380 AD that Emperor Theodosius made another edict, the Edict of Thessalonica, in which he said that Christianity is now to become the official religion of the Roman Empire. Now, that was even more profound. It was accepted everywhere. Well, Telemachus was concerned about the fact that the gladiator battles took place, continued to take place in several of the amphitheaters around Rome. And it burdened him, it bothered him. And so one time he was so concerned about it that he went to one of the gladiatorial events, the matches, in order to try to do something to promote the love of Christ. He didn't know what he was going to do. He got there, he was in the stands, he was watching these gladiators swinging their swords, trying to kill each other, hurting each other, and he was so disturbed by it, he ran down, jumped over the wall into the arena, ran up to the gladiators and pushed them apart and said, "Stop this!" He said, "Don't do this, don't kill each other. You can't do this, this is murder." Well, the gladiators stopped. And they backed away. And then all of a sudden the crowd started booing. They were incensed and they were angry that he had interfered with their entertainment. And so several of the people in the crowd jumped over the wall, picked up stones, and they stoned Telemachus and killed him. But his profound act of Christian love and Christian service had an amazing impact on the world. Because what happened is the emperor heard about it. He was upset, and so he immediately issued a ban on all gladiatorial events from that point on, and they never happened again. Now think about that. Because of one Christian monk and his willingness to love in the name of Christ and to give himself up for Christ impacted something that had been part of Roman tradition and culture for hundreds and hundreds of years. And from that point on, it ended because of his witness for Christ. The same thing can happen as we witness for Christ and share his love as well. Now, in our passage from the Gospel of John, chapter 1, we find Jesus out in his travels, and he finds a couple of disciples that are walking behind him, and he turns to them and he says, you know, what do you want? What a wonderful question. Would you like to have Jesus say to you, what do you want? Oh, I could think of 1,000 things I could ask him, things that I would like to have. We would all like to do that. But what did these disciples do? They gave sort of an awkward response. They said, instead of responding to that, they simply said, where are you staying? What? Well, Jesus was probably a little puzzled with their response as well, and they could have asked for anything. They could have asked, you know, what is our purpose in life, and are you truly the Messiah, and when will the world end, and when will your kingdom come into existence, all kinds of things. But they didn't do that. Possibly because they didn't really know what they wanted. And unfortunately, many people in our world today simply do not know what they want. They are stuck in ruts. They continue to do things the way they've always done them. They continue to follow the same old routines. But Jesus wants us to understand that he is the only one that can give us a sense of true meaning and true purpose in life. There's no greater purpose than in following Jesus and promoting his good news of grace and love. Nothing is more important. And when we begin to do that and live that out day to day in our daily activities, we will discover a sense of fulfillment and meaning that can't be surpassed by anything else. Well, Jesus turned to the disciples after they responded, and he said, well, okay, let me tell you where I'm staying. Come and see. Come and you will see what I can do for you. And so Andrew, which was one of the disciples, and the other one not identified, went with Jesus. They spent the entire day with Jesus. And as a result of that, they ended up spending their entire lives with Jesus because of the impact he had on them. And verse 41 tells us that as soon as they left, it says this, the first thing that Andrew did after spending the entire day with Jesus was to go find his brother Simon Peter and tell him, we have found the Messiah. And he brought his brother to come and see and meet Jesus. Andrew was so excited that he couldn't wait to tell his brother and bring his brother, get his brother to Jesus, whatever it took. And Andrew continued to do that throughout his ministry. He brought, as our scripture told us, he brought a little boy with 5 loaves and 2 fish. Later on, he found a group of Greeks who were interested in Jesus, and he brought those Greeks to meet Jesus, and surely their lives were changed forever. In many ways, though, Andrew was just an ordinary person. We don't have any record of him making any outstanding sermons or doing any amazing deeds or doing anything that was extraordinary. He was just a regular person who was out there sharing the love of Jesus and bringing people to Jesus. So simple, so easy, but so powerful and life-changing. William Barclay, in his familiar commentary, most of you have read from his daily study Bible commentary, he says this about Andrew. "We do not possess a great deal of information about Andrew, but even the little bit that we know about him perfectly paints his character. Andrew is one of the most attractive characters in the apostolic band because Andrew is characteristically the man who was always introducing others to Jesus. He is the man with a missionary heart. Having himself found friendship with Jesus, he spent all of his life introducing others to that same friendship. Andrew is our great example in that he could not keep Jesus to himself. And we can't do that either. Just as Andrew was a natural, simple evangelist, sharing the love of Christ, bringing people to Jesus, we can do the exact same thing. All you have to do is take this card, wherever that card is, and invite someone to come to church, and they will experience the good news of Jesus, and it just might change their lives forever. In the 15th century, there was a family that had 18 children. Back then, they had a lot of children. Well, as a result, it was hard to feed all of those little ones, and so the father had to work about 18 hours a day in order to provide for his family. They lived in a little village outside of Nuremberg, Germany. And that's all the father could do, was just work and provide enough to provide a little food. Well, two of the boys in the family, two of the older boys, decided they really wanted to go off to the Academy of Art in Nuremberg, but they knew that their father would never be able to afford paying the tuition so they could, you know, further their education. So the two boys got together and they said, "All right, let's come up with a plan. I tell you what, one of us will go out and work and make enough money to pay the tuition. The other one can go to school for 4 years, get the degree, and then go out and work, and then the other one will go to the art academy and get the same degree." I said, "That's a good plan. Who's going to go first? I don't know. Let's flip a coin." So they flipped a coin, and Albrecht won the toss. And his brother Albert said, "Okay, I'll go to the mines and work, and I'll send the money so you can have get the tuition paid so you can complete your education." So Albrecht went off and he spent 4 years in the Academy of Art in Nuremberg. He was outstanding. He far surpassed his professors. He did a wonderful job. He graduated in 4 years while his brother was in the mines working hard to provide the money that he needed for tuition. When he graduated, they had a family celebration. All had gathered at the dinner table. They laughed, they sang songs, they were celebrating Albrecht's graduation. And at one point, Albrecht stood up and he said, "And now, Albert, beloved brother of mine, it's your turn. Now you can go to the Art Academy in Nuremberg and I will take care of you." Albert was demonstrating the love of Christ by supporting his brother and getting him through the academy education. And now it was Albert's turn to do that. Well, Albert stood up with tears streaming down his face, and he said this, "Thank you, my brother, but I cannot go to Nuremberg. It is too late for me. Look what 4 years in the mines have done to my hands. I cannot even hold a glass to return your toast, much less make art on a canvas. No, my brother, for me, it is too late." Albrecht Dürer went on to become a very famous painter. He did portraits and sketches and watercolors and charcoals and woodcuts and copper engravings, all sorts of things that have ended up in museums all around the world. He became quite famous, but the most famous of his portraits was this that we can pull up on the screen. He drew the hands of his brother Albert, and he called it hands. Today we know it as the praying hands. And you can see the twisted fingers that had been damaged in the mines. He was unable to use those hands. The arthritis, both of his hands had been broken a couple of times, crushed, and his fingers were so damaged he could not go to the art academy. He demonstrated the love of Christ and sent his brother and paid for him to go. His brother was willing to demonstrate the love of Christ and returned the favor. And both of them became witnesses for all of us as to what we can do as we share the love of Christ with other people. And the simplest way to share that love is to invite them into God's church and let God speak to them. Well, Andrew brought all sorts of people to Jesus. He brought his brother Simon Peter to meet Jesus, and it changed Peter forever. He brought a little boy with 5 loaves and 2 little fish, and it must have changed that boy forever. He brought the Greeks who wanted to see Jesus, and it must have changed them forever. How long has it been since you brought someone to Jesus? When's the last time you brought someone to Jesus? Now that's a convicting question, because for many of us, it's never happened. But it can, and it's easy to do. Next week, we will celebrate National Back to Church Sunday. It is a great day, a very good day, for you to invite someone and to bring someone to meet the Savior. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.